Welcome to the 84th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Later today, I have a guest that we chatted about her plant-based journey after being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, so I think you'll find that very interesting. She's done very well and is now paying it forward and helping other people, so that's going to be an exciting interview. This is my first week back at work since my daughter's wedding, the plant-based wedding, and so, as usual, it's a hectic week, but it was the fifth session for my nutrition class here in the office, the fifth out of six, and I did a concept that, you know, I always cook and bring some food to sample, as well as we talk about the science. And so for the food preparation this time, I did a concept that I borrowed from a restaurant here in Florida called Fresh Kitchen. And what it is they have you come in and pick some salads. You can pick a choice of salads and pick a vegetable and pick a protein. And obviously plant-based, the protein is tofu. So I decided to do a kale salad, and I added sunflower, avocado, red onion, and used the dressing, the lemon balsamic vinegar dressing from the Foodie Bar Way. The other salad choice was a quinoa salad with red pepper and lime juice, chili powder, cumin, and white balsamic vinegar. And then I did sautéed mushrooms, Brussels sprouts, tofu, and the topping was salsa if you want it. And that went over quite well. And the concept, well, the idea was to say that, you know, I prepped it all. Oh, I'm sorry, and we also had pinto beans with that. So the idea was that you can prep a lot of that in advance. You can make the quinoa in advance, the beans in advance, and you could kind of put that together for an evening meal, especially in the summertime, that's really tasty. And you know, we have your kale and your greens in it as far and your beans, so it really covers everything. It's all the different colors. It's a very pretty presentation and fun to make, fun to eat, and not that much work. I also did a lecture on Thursday at the Venice Whole Food Plant-Based Lifestyle Meetup Group, and we talked about lipid profiles and trying to discern some of the LP little A's, and like I talked about last week. Also did a question and answer session, and there was a lot of questions as far as troubleshooting, you know, when other people tell you that you should be paleo or you should go low carb. So it was an interesting talk and question and answer, and everybody participated, and they always have healthy snacks. So it's a really good meetup group. I think there are about 30 people there, so that was really fun. And on a, I guess, progress note, I had a cardiologist actually approach me in the doctor's lounge for the first time, I guess the second time, really, inquiring about a whole food plant-based diet. His wife actually had heard that I do a nutrition course, and she was interested, and we talked about plant-based nutrition, and he agreed that probably all of his patients should be on a plant-based diet, but it was pretty difficult for them to do, and he wasn't sure how to pull it off, and but at least he's thinking about it, and I offered him his wife to come and join the class and get some information if she wanted. So I haven't heard from her yet, but you know, it's nice to hear that people, the word is getting out in the community that I have the plant-based nutrition course and that I'm treating lifestyle risk factors through diet as opposed to just medications in the traditional route. So I was really happy about that. You know, had some success stories in the office. Again, continue to take people off blood pressure medications, diabetic medications. In the class, people are losing weight, their lipids are getting better. So it's, you know, it's all positive, so much more positive than it ever was when I was practicing traditional cardiology. I'm getting more and more patients that are coming to the office and consulting from even, you know, across the state for plant-based nutrition, and for somebody to say it's okay for them to come off their statins and to help them transition. So I love it. You know, if you are in the area or you want to come and visit me and or do a Skype consultation, I'd be more than happy to do that to help you get a plan to get off your medications. to help you start your transition into whole food plant-based nutrition, because it's really the way to go. And you know, not to be a snake oil salesman of sorts, but it just helps people on so many fronts. So if you can get the bad stuff out of your diet that's causing a bunch of inflammation, and you put some good plant foods of all colors, then your body can actually heal yourself and you'll feel better in no time. For training, those of you that are new, I'm an endurance athlete, and my next event is an Ironman in Louisville in October. So, you know, now it's I kind of focused on my daughter's wedding until now, and now that that's over, it's time to start to bump up the volume as far as swim, biking, and running. So I'm up to a 16-mile long run on the weekend and a 75-mile long bike, and running during the week and doing one bike and a swim. Usually I'm trying to get two swims in that are about an hour and a half each this past week because of just general coming back. I only got one in, but I managed to get the runs in. I try to do my weekly runs kind of by feel. I have two German Shepherds that run with me, so we do 3.5 mile, 3 to 3.5 mile loops on Tuesday and Thursday. It's kind of the first loop is kind of a warm up, and that dog kind of likes to take it a little slower, and the second dog has a little bit more energy, and so we kind of speed things up according to how I feel. So we might do a little bit of burst here and there, or we might pick it up for the last 3 miles. It's been really hot and humid, and both dogs have been not real excited about pushing the pace too much, but they managed to give me a good workout. And then on Wednesdays, I usually do a indoor trainer for about an hour, followed by a run with the dog. So that day, they only get about a mile and a half each. So, and they're good with that. They kind of like the short route. It's amazing how the dogs learn the route, and they pretty much could take me on the route. And they try to, you know, do the shortcut. Especially when it's hot, it's like, you know, don't you want to cut down this street and do the short run versus the long run? And the one dog's pretty funny. It's like, okay, we're going long today, Gretchen. And she kind of knows, you know, we're going to just keep plowing on down the street and do our other loops. So it's amazing that they get in habits too. So again, the interview for today is with a lady that has multiple sclerosis. And just the name is scary. It typically occurs in the younger to middle mid-years, and it can be a quite progressive course, or it can have episodes of symptoms, and then they'll resolve over time. It is defined basically as an inflammation and scarring and or scarring of the white matter in the brain and in the spinal cord, where the actual nerves can be disrupted, and it's thought to be an autoimmune disease, meaning that our own white blood cells attack the lining of the nerves itself, and cause scarring, and the inflammation causes abnormal function. About 350,000 people are affected each year in the United States, 1.1 million worldwide. It's the second leading cause of neuro disability, secondary to trauma in Western society. So, you know, it's pretty prevalent. There is some familial component to it, so there may be a risk for later generations to have it. Typically, people present with sometimes subtle symptoms, a tingling, numbness, sensory loss, pain, maybe some clumsiness or weakness in the extremities. There can be visual defects because of nerve palsies leading to the eyes, so people can have double vision. So those are, you know, some of the common symptoms of it. Typically, the treatment is according to symptoms, and when people tend to have a progressive course, they're not only given steroids, but they're giving some kind of other interferon, either interferon-type medications, and then other autoimmune-type, basically chemotherapeutic agents to try to suppress the inflammation in the body. And as you can imagine, there's these drugs are fraught with side effects. You know, steroids can be devastating with weight gain and diabetes and the risk of bone loss, and the chemotherapeutic agents can cause worsening problems down the road. So It's a pretty scary disease to go from being someone that had no symptoms or no health issues to starting to get these symptoms. And again, they can be so subtle that people don't even seek medical care right away. You may think that, it's just some funny tingling or some funny nerve irritation, but that the thought of multiple sclerosis doesn't spring to your mind in the beginning. When we do an MRI, we see these white lesions in the brain, and they can represent, depending on the complexity of them, can be either scarring or inflammation, and they can be watched over time. And it's a scary thing when physicians see lesions in the brain and people have symptoms. The idea is to treat with a medication to try to make it stop and go away as quickly as possible. So, the dietary approach is not thought of as something that, we have time to do. And most of the time, it's not even discussed or recommended with physicians. Dr. McDougall and Dr. Ornish have seen a lot of patients with multiple sclerosis and other autoimmune diseases, and putting them on a whole food plant-based diet has improved them. Dr. Goldhammer has as well. There is a benefit from whole food plant-based diet, certainly as slowing the disease progression or slowing the symptoms down. But you can imagine it's pretty scary for a neurologist to recommend a plant-based diet in light of these brain lesions. So I'll go on to the discussion with Cindy, or the chat with Cindy, and she can tell you how things went, and we'll pick it up at the end and maybe make a few comments. So enjoy our talk. Welcome, Cindy Sweeley. Cindy and I became friends on the great social media Facebook, and she was a podcast listener, and she reached out to tell me her story of multiple sclerosis and how she has become plant-based and now is pursuing a career helping others change their life and become plant-based. And it's a pleasure to be able to speak with you and hear your story, Cindy. So welcome.
Thank you very much.
So we were chatting just a little bit beforehand, and been working at Michigan State University, regular life, siblings, nothing out of the ordinary. And about 2008, you started to have some funny symptoms. What were they?
I started having numbness and tingling in my hands.
And at both hands, or one hand, one side versus the other, or?
It was both hands. Yep, it was both hands, and I thought it was just I'd been working in the yard doing stuff for a couple days, and I just thought it was related to that, so I didn't think anything of it.
And then did things progress, or that just became so annoying that you sought medical attention?
It did progress. I was trying to kind of blow it off and just thought it would go away, and it continued to get worse. I started up my arm, and then my stomach felt numb too. And I went back and referred to my notes because I kept a little journal of the first initial time frame when all this started happening. And so I thought it was strange, but I just thought it would go away by itself. And I ended up going to see my family doctor, and she wanted to do some blood work to check thyroid and different things. And I hadn't had a full blood work thing done, so she did that as well.
And, the numbness and tingling is so vague and nonspecific. Did she even mention that diagnosis at the time, or let's just get some blood work and see where we go, hoping that it would go away?
She at that time, just wanted to get the blood work and go from there. If she was thinking something, she didn't lead on to me at that point until I saw her. I called her and went back to see her because my symptoms were getting worse, and they were just all over. I mean, when I walked, I tingled all over, and I just knew something was wrong. So I called her a few days after that and wanted to get in right away. So she had her ideas and wanted to get me in to see a neurologist. So that's what we did at that point.
But when she did the basic blood work, was your cholesterol high at all?
Oh, my cholesterol has never been high, so I'm going to have to say no, but I just can't tell you what it was at that time, but I've never had a problem with cholesterol.
And were you taking any medications at the time?
No, nope.
And so, and were you pretty active? I mean, did you do any kind of walking or swimming or jogging or weightlifting at the time?
Oh, was I doing that? Yes, I was doing a lot of that. I'm very active, and I didn't know if I had injured something because of it or what. Mm-hmm.
And then when you went to see the neurologist, did they kind of go pretty quickly down the MS aisle?
He did. He felt my neck area and could tell that it was inflamed, and he thought that I should get an MRI because I think the doctor was leaning more towards a neurological problem, and not knowing for sure what it was, he wanted to get an MRI done.
And then what happened?
Well, and actually, he didn't talk about MS with me. He talked about Lyme disease and transverse myotis. I don't know what that is.
Myosis or a myelopathy, perhaps?
I'm not sure. Transverse myelitis. That's what I have written down, and rheumatoid arthritis. But mm-hmm. He did not talk about MS at that time with me.
Mm-hmm.
So he put me on steroids because of the inflammation, and then ordered the MRI to be done.
And did you get some improvement with the steroids early on?
I did. It reduced the inflammation, and so that helped. That helped a bit, except for I did note that I began a larger dose of steroids because it did take a little bit to start doing something.
And then how long before he called you back with the MRI results?
My appointment was the next day, actually. I did the MRI on the 18th of May. And on the 19th, I had an appointment with him to go over the results.
That was good.
And some second blood work. It looks like he was able to get me right in. And I do remember that. It was like a really quick turnaround. Within 2 weeks, I knew I had, you know, MS.
Mm-hmm. And so, how did he explain that to you?
Well, he just explained that there were the lesions found and that were the same, you know, the results showed what MS is. And he said I could have a spinal tap done if I wanted to, but he was 99% sure. I also had the evoked potential test for the eyes and ears done as well. There was no problems in that area. But he wanted to get me on medication right away.
And what medications did he start you on?
Well, I started with Beta CRM. That was what I chose to do. He gave me information, and it was my choice. He said that Beta CRM was the best in his mind at that point, and thought it would be a good choice to go with that medicine.
And how did that go?
Well, my symptoms went away, and, you know, part of that was because of the steroids, I'm sure, as well. That helped as well. But, you know, it took a couple months to get that drug. You know, I had to have a nurse come out and show me how to inject myself with it and get all of the insurance stuff taken care of and all of that. So, it took a couple months, and then I started every other day injecting myself. And I still remember thinking, wow, is this what my life is going to be for the rest of my life? I have to do this every other day for the rest of my life? And it was a weird thought. I didn't like it. But I was positive. You know, I just thought, well, if this is what I'm going to do, then it's what I'm going to do. And I never had the thought that MS would do anything to me. You know, I always knew that I would fight back and be stronger than ever. Mm-hmm. And that was my attitude. And I have that to this day.
And so, you know, fast forward a little bit, and just to kind of, you know, inform the audience, the Beta Seron for one tray has a price ticket of about $6,400, according to, you know, the retail type of thing. You know, thank goodness you had insurance, for one thing, but you can, if you know, I don't know, you know, how much research you did when you first got this diagnosis, but if you did the math, it could be a pretty scary thing.
Oh, yeah. When I would get the deliveries, because they would deliver three-month supply at a time, it would show the dollar amount, and I believe it was $44,000.
That's incredible. So, you know, fast forward just a little bit, what gave you the idea to maybe seek an alternative way besides medication, i.e. plant-based? When did you hear of all the plant-based nutrition things?
Well, it all started with my boyfriend. He had seen Forks Over Knives, and he kept bringing it up whenever we would have a meal or something. You know, he would say, "Oh, well, you know, I've not been doing cheese lately. I'm kind of starting to get dairy out of my diet," and he would bring up that movie again, and we talk about it and all of the incredible things that he saw with the doctors, Dr. Esselstyn and Campbell. And I just said, "No, I really need to see this documentary. It just sounds like it would really help me." And he said, "Great, you know, I don't mind seeing it again because I'll learn more." So we sat down and watched it together, and I tell you what, it was a no-brainer for me to go whole food plant-based, and I started, and it was basically overnight, and we enjoyed doing it together. He also became plant-based, and it was fun, you know, learning what it was all about together, and it was fun.
And, you know, how long before you started seeing some differences?
Well, I started feeling really great, of course. I didn't have any symptoms or anything with MS. You know, I was fine. I mean, since being on the medication and everything started in 2008 and everything resolved itself, I was having no issues with my multiple sclerosis other than the injection sites. And those are one of the side effects, and I really had a hard time with them because they were all over my body. and they would never go away because I was always injecting myself. And so anyway, I got on a plant-based diet, and I was really into it, and I just thought, you know, how will I ever know if the food is helping me and taking care of my MS and going to keep me healthy if I'm on the drug? So, I mean, that was a big question in my mind. And so that's when I decided that I was going to halt the medication. And it was my January 2013 New Year's resolution, and have never gone back.
And when you went off the medications, did you have any kind of tingling or sensations that you're like, oh, here it comes, or?
No, I still get, like, if I get nervous, like really nervous about something coming up, or if I need to talk to somebody that I know is not going to be a very good conversation, my hands still get that tingly feeling, but it goes away. Mm-hmm. And so that still happens, but that's it. That's all. I live a normal life, just like I have been since being on the medication, and have no issues. And I'm healthier for it because I'm eating so well.
And you pretty much followed the whole food, plant-based Esselstyn version of no added oil, or how did you?
Well, for the most part. And that has changed over the last couple of weeks because I did have a new MRI done just recently. But no, I have done very well staying away from oil for the most part. Mm-hmm. And when I was transitioning to the plant-based diet, I mean, it was pretty much overnight, but what I craved was cheese because mm-hmm. I really enjoyed cheese and I was missing it. So I would eat the vegan cheese, you know, and yes, it's vegan, but it's not really something to eat, you know. It's not totally pure. So I'm tweaking my diet even more. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, just very, very in tune with what I eat.
Are you going for the 4 cups of greens a day? I mean, do you strive for that part of it, do you think?
You know what? I don't measure out anything like that.
Yeah, but give or take.
Because my lunch and dinner both include a salad. And so I eat until I get full. And
So you had another MRI after a few years, a couple of weeks ago. And since that, you said you've been trying to tweak your diet, maybe get it a little bit more strict since then, as far as some processed vegan cheese and things like that. Tell me about that MRI.
Well, I had 2 separate MRIs because it was so long, so I separated them. I did the brain first, and then I did the cervical and thoracic spine about a week later. And, you know, the previous MRI to this recent one was done in 2013, and only an MRI for the brain was done in 2013. The cervical and thoracic spine had not been done since the very beginning when I was diagnosed back in 2008. So that MRI was compared to 2008, and the brain MRI was compared to 2013. And with the brain MRI, it stated that there are suspected to be 4 to 5 new lesions, and that there were 2 enhancing lesions suspicious for active demyelinating plaques. So in the MRI, when it was compared, the brain to the MRI I had in 2013, it showed two enhancing lesions suspicious for active demyelinating plaques. And then my other MRI for the cervical and thoracic spine, comparing it to 2008, there was a change in the CQ area lesion that I had, that they had found back then. No, actually, in the cervical spine, the lesion that was there from the 2008 MRI was enlarged. It had gotten bigger. But that was it. There was no other. There was no other new enhancing lesions, and the thoracic spine had nothing. There was no new anything there. So I spoke to Dr. Esselstyn about these MRIs, and he said that with the MRI comparing to 2008 for my spine, he said, well, you know, that one has grown. We don't know when. You know, you've had MS for 8 years. We don't know when that change happened. And so we really couldn't say if being on a plant-based diet wasn't helping. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple things. We don't know when it changed, and I'm sure between the MRIs cuts and things from 2008 to 2016, techniques have changed a little bit too. So, you know, there's probably some, you know, variability even within the test itself.
Mm-hmm. Could be. And his comment about the brain MRI, he said, you know, I never care about what the results say. I don't care about shadows. What I care about is how you feel. How do you feel, Cindy? And I told him, you know, it's like, I feel great. You know, I was a little surprised to have this change between 2013 and now in the brain because I feel so good. He thought I was doing great and didn't have any concerns about it. And he did ask me if the neurologist sat down with me, or the radiologist for that matter, did anybody sit down with me and look at my scans with me? And I said no. And I said to him, matter of fact, I would probably be correct to say that neither did my neurologist look at those scans. I have a feeling he just looked at the written report from the radiologist to tell me that I need to do something and get back on drugs. And we had this conversation when I was talking to him, of course. He was telling me that the ABC drugs, which is Avonex beta-seron, which is the drug I was on, and Copaxone, they all have 30 to 35% effectiveness. And I just looked at them. And I said, well, that's not much, really. And he said, but wouldn't you rather have 30% instead of zero? And then he started talking about the newer drugs and said, you know, these are 50 to 70% effective. And I said, and yes. But how new are these drugs? And he said, they've been out for about 3 years. And I looked at him and said, you know, it's too new. There's bigger side effects that come with these drugs. And they even say some of them are fatal side effects. And I just, I'm not going to subject my body to that. I'm just not. And so that was his take on it. And I walked out of his office just kind of feeling like, oh, you know. So, you know, he said, you're one of my my healthiest patients, and I would hate to see something happen to you. So, and I understood that. I understand what he believes, and because he hasn't gotten taught anything else, you know, you have MS here. Here's the drug you take. And I've been learning a lot, and I've been researching many, many things. And I just know what's best for me. And I just know that he doesn't know any better. He just doesn't know any better. This is what I do. This is what I prescribe. And these are your choices. Pick one.
Was there any discussion, well, compared to my other patients with multiple sclerosis for 8 years, you know, you're doing really good, or geez, the people that are on drugs, you know, I mean, it's hard to argue with no symptoms. You know, I mean, we typically, you know, are taught one of the basic things that most people are taught in medical school is you do something to somebody to either make them live longer or feel better. So you can't feel better.
Right.
So you can't feel
right.
better. So the question is, can we make you live longer and improve the quality of life while you're living longer? And so that would be a hard thing for, you know, to prove with medications, you know, but
right.
if he couldn't say, well, you know, so you're left with, well, I have the rest of this population with multiple sclerosis and their course has been the same or different, you know, I mean, obviously multiple sclerosis, you know, some people have a very dramatic course where they get sick very quickly, and some people wax and wane and don't have symptoms for a long time, and some people have intermittent symptoms, you know, once in a while. So it's not like it's typically a cancer or an illness that, if left untreated, you know, there's progressive decline. So it's kind of hard to compare people to people, but you know, I would guess in the general scheme of things, you know, this is great. You know, 8 years out and you're doing what you want to do and feel good off meds.
Right. And, you know, I would bet that the majority of multiple sclerosis patients just continue to eat the standard American diet, and they have no clue what it's doing to their body. And they have no clue what these drugs are doing to their body. Yes, they get tested. You know, I had to have liver blood tests done for my liver, you know, periodically, because the drugs can affect the liver. But what else is going on that we're not going to find out until, you know, 10 years from now, you know, because I have some other problem, you know, that stemmed from the drugs. And then what will my neurologist say? You know, he doesn't care about that. I mean, he may care about that, but it's not his thing. It you know, then I'm stuck with having more illness, more issues with my health.
Okay.
So I'm being the guinea pig, I call it, for him. And you know, I feel great, and I don't see why there should be any changes made. And I feel it's going to be a good sign to him that maybe he needs to look at a plant-based diet for his patients as an add-on if he needs to, or something. I don't know. I just know that the drugs are not for me. Not anymore.
When you told him you were on a plant-based diet, what kind of reaction did you get?
Oh, he thought that was great, and that's when he had told me that, you know, you'll be my healthiest patient because you exercise and you eat a very good diet. That was it. And I had not even told him ahead of time that I was stopping my medication when I decided to do it for my New Year's resolution in 2013. I did not see him until April of that year, and that is when I told him. And he didn't really like that. I mean, he didn't get upset, but he just thought it was, you know, totally the wrong avenue to take.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's fantastic. And I applaud your bravery for giving it a go, because, you know, there really wasn't much support for you. Have you contacted Dr. McDougall at all?
I actually contacted him the day that I had my appointment with my neurologist to go over these recent MRIs. I called him and left a message, and then I followed up with an email. Mm-hmm. And partly because I couldn't get a hold of Dr. Esselstyn at the time. He wanted me to call him back and discuss it with him. But I know Dr. McDougall does a lot with MS research and, you know, diet and MS. So I wanted to reach out to him as well anyway. But, Dr. McDougall sent me an email the same day and told me that he couldn't really discuss my MRI results with me because of legal issues and things, but he gave me a whole slew of reminders, what I already knew, and I just needed to be reminded, and different things to look at, and some YouTube discussions that he was involved in about MS and diet, and an article that he had shared about MS drugs being just an expensive criminal waste, and if people that had MS really knew about the drug and what it will do to them or what it could do to them, they wouldn't take it, but that because they have insurance and it may not cost anything to them, they just go with what the doctor says. And they really don't pay attention, and they just listen to the doctor and do it. So he was very, very kind and gave me lots of good stuff, email, and then I talked to Dr. Esselstyn a couple days after that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's very difficult, you know, as a patient. It's MS is the symptoms, neurological symptoms are very, very scary. And, you know, the thought of having something progress because you tried something alternatively, you know, is, you know, a bit of a risk, especially when you don't have any support.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, you know, Dr. Esselstyn is wonderful when you reached out to him. You know, and of course, there's, you know, information out there when you start to dig into it. But the average person, you know, sometimes you become so afraid of the diagnosis that it's, you know, it's.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I feel that most people are. And, you know, sitting in there, you know, this last week or two ago, having him talk to me about it, you know, he's putting some fear into me for, you know, a short time. You know, you could wake up tomorrow and not be able to walk, and just these different things. And it started to get me thinking a little bit, you know, kind of like, boy, what should I do? Should I be messing around with this? And then to see, really, because I hadn't really, it was Dr. Esselstyn that pointed out to me, you know, the cervical spine issue of, we don't really know when that area got bigger, you know, or got worse, between this eight year period of time. And it could have happened before I became plant-based, and it had grown since. We just don't know. And I felt really good because I hadn't thought of that. And I was just like, oh, wow, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't think of it. And I don't think I did, because the way the doctor presented it to me, my neurologist, it was kind of like, yes, it's gotten worse. You should really get on medication. Well, when? I mean, it could have gotten worse in 2010 and not changed for all I know, you know. I don't know. So there's just no way of, being able to tell. So that made me feel really relieved.
Well, you know, I go back to, and I agree with Dr. Esselstyn that it's hard to argue with somebody that feels well. You know, if, you know, despite your best efforts, you are having progression of symptoms, then, you know, you have to start looking, just like you went plant-based, for some therapy of some sort. You know, that's one thing. But when you're feeling good and the only alternative you have is to have side effects of a medication that may make you feel worse, it's kind of hard to say, do that. You know, so I applaud you for, you know, your decision.
Well, I do have, you know, a group of supporters, you know. People respect my choice, and, you know, those are true friends and family right there that are with you no matter what, and they see how I'm doing. Just because an MRI, you know, it's like something says you're dying, you know, yeah, but I'm doing everything, and you know, I do circles around lots of people. I'm very energetic. I'm happy, and I live a normal life. You know, you tell me this, but it doesn't jive with how I feel. Mm-hmm. So something's wrong. Something's wrong here.
Well, there's a, you know, I mean, this is an unrelated illness, but there's also a study that looks at MRIs and the brain and dementia. And they did, it was a study of nuns, and they looked at the nuns' brain, how they progressed, as and compared it to their function. And they also compared it to the written, you know, personal statement they had when they entered the, you know, the nun, the monastery, or where, you know, I'm blocking on the word, where mm-hmm. nuns live. But and what they found is that function and MRI scans don't necessarily go together. Some people mm-hmm. look like their brains, that they should have advanced dementia, and they were functioning on quite a high level well into their 80s. And other people had stellar MRIs and they weren't functioning at all. So, you know, not everything goes together as far as, you know, we know a lot and we're learning a lot about brain function and saying, but, you know, there's a lot more to it than I think we realize as well. And, you know, sometimes part of your brain kicks in for the other part or whatever, you know. So, I think just to, you know, hang all your hopes or fears on, you know, one thing is, you know, is maybe not the greatest. So I applaud you for your courage to stay the course and to refine your diet even more. In your family, they're plant-based?
No, I have nobody in my family. Well, I actually, I was talking about Forks Over Knives after I watched it so much. I got a brother and one of my good friends to watch it, and they became plant-based, but since have gone back to a fad diet. But my boyfriend is still vegan, and that helps a lot. And, you know, I love the way I eat. It's not hard for me at all. It's delicious. I'm pretty sure my palate has changed because I really, I don't miss anything. And I know that I'm doing it for such a good reason. And, you know, it's too bad that, you know, I didn't find out about plant-based nutrition sooner, because if I could live my life over again, I would have done it so, so differently. So, but hey, to the next 50 years, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's a journey, and every, you know, I'm very much of the, you know, everything happens for a reason. And maybe if you'd been presented Forks Over Knives and you weren't ill, you wouldn't have had anything to do with it, you know? So
exactly. I believe there's a reason. There's a reason for everything. I truly believe that. And
looking forward, you're now starting a business where you're helping other people and paying it forward, so to speak.
I am. It's all I talk about. And I would like to retire from my current job of 30 years and do it full time. And I'm trying to work through everything so that I so that's possible for me to do. So right now it's just little by little, but again, it's all I talk about. You know, I practice what I preach, and it's all I care about. You know, in the news or articles or, you know, Facebook news feeds, it's all I read, and I learn all the time. There's always something new to learn. And something that, you know, that I know is going to keep helping me just feel my best.
Well, I'll look forward to hearing about how your business progresses, because I'm sure that it will. And, you know, again, you're another lighthouse to other people that have various illnesses or want to change their life and make themselves healthier. And I look forward to the next 50 years to see how you're doing.
Well, that would be great. We'll do another podcast. How about that?
That sounds good. We'll go ahead and schedule it after this is over. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good. We'll set the date.
Thank you so much for taking time to speak with me this evening.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
I hope you found that interesting, and you know, it's certainly a good story that Cindy is doing so good. She's paying it forward. She took the T. Colin Campbell nutrition course, the E. Cornell course, and is now starting a company called Vegan Craving, so that she can reach out and help other people and help them change their diet. So that's fantastic. One of the things that we spoke about after we got done with the podcast is, you know, it's just kind of bad form. You see a diagnosis, and we call people with results, and you need to be on medications. And this is a scary disease. And to have an MRI after so many years and say, okay, things are, you know, you feel good, but then the scan looks bad, and it's so confusing. You know, we have to remember as physicians to, you know, what the patient's going to be thinking. And you know, it was worth a face-to-face visit, and I agree with Dr. Esselstyn to compare both scans to see if there was a change, and discuss the possibilities like Dr. Esselstyn did. Obviously, her neurologist didn't have a comfort level with her being on a plant-based diet as the treatment. And again, you know, I see his point in that, you know, you have a lesion and it's going to progress and you need to do something. But if we take time and step back, at, you know, 30% effectiveness, 40% effectiveness, and side effects, risk versus the benefits of the drug, you know, so I think it takes a little bit more doing than just to prescribe medications. I hope this gave people hope and encouragement that, you know, a plant-based diet can and is very effective in reversing autoimmune diseases, or at least stabilizing. Our body can heal if we just give it the opportunity and the right nutrients. So if you have any questions for me, feel free to contact me at jamiedelaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. Check out my website, drdelaney.com. If you're in the area, certainly come and think about doing our nutrition classes. If you'd like to do a consult, please, you know, go on my website, drdelaney.com, and contact me, and we can do a discussion via Skype. I look forward to hearing from you with any questions or comments, and until next time, be plant strong, and get out and get some exercise and sunshine. Enjoy.